Blog Talk Radio.
Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. I'm Pat Forman. I'm sitting in for Andy Schneider, the Chicken Whisperer. He's at a special luncheon today, and he'll be back with us tomorrow. I'm the author and co-author of several sustainable agricultural books, including Chicken Tractors, City Chicks, Day Range Poultry, and Backyard Market Gardening. Andy handed over the control board to me this morning just about an hour and a half ago so he could attend this luncheon, and so this is the first time I've operated these controls. I ask you to just laugh along with me as I might bungle up, but I kind of feel a little bit like I'm flying a plane for the first time, and golly gee whiz, we just took off. So fasten your seatbelts, and here we go. Today is Tuesday, October 5th, 2010, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio talk show that is broadcast around the world. We have listeners from many different countries. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer show, radio show, 24 hours a day. So if you can't sleep at night, just tune us in. And all you have to do is go to our website, chickenwhisperer.com, and that's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit us on our blog, and sign up for the Chicken Whisperer monthly e-newsletter, the Chicken Scratch. And, of course, you can get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now, just as we're speaking right this instant. You can talk with other backyard poultry folks, with the Chicken Whisperer fans, and other chicken owners from around the country and even across the world. You can ask any questions that you may have here for our special guests when we have them on, and you can just type them in, and we'll usually bring them up and answer them just as soon as we can. To join the live chicken chat is just so easy. Just log on to blogtalkradio.com, click register, get your own creative, fun, and screen name, and then just start clucking along with the chat room chicken ears. It is really that easy and only takes maybe less than a minute. I'd also invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at the Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Okay, we're live back today. This is Pat Foreman here. I'm sitting in for Andy. He has a special luncheon, and so I'm going it solo for the first time. So I'm a little slow with the controls here. Please just kind of cluck along as I bungle along. And I must admit, I'm a little bit nervous. So have a little bit of patience with me. We're going to go ahead with chickens in the news, and I've got a really cute little story here. This is by Annie Novak, and she is keeping rooftop chickens. And I'm just going to read part of her blog here. She goes, "I adopted the hens at a laying age, so they were point of lay, from Liberty View Farm. And at first, I was sold on city chicks. They're fairly self-sufficient, they're multifunctional and charming. And when she's up at sunrise cutting her kale, now remember, this is all on her rooftop. She has a little rooftop urban garden up there. The chickens would be frisky behind them. They were happily jogging up and down their run with the amnesic curiosity of a goldfish navigating their bowl. Usually she doesn't name farm animals, but they became such pets and they had so much personality she couldn't help herself. So she started to christen. One was named Fatty, but another one was named Francis, a white Araucana hen. And I love this. Named in honor of Francis Perkins, the Francis Perkins Academy, and I don't know if most of you know about Francis Perkins. She was the first woman cabinet member under the Roosevelt administration. And there's an incredible autobiography of Francis Perkins. She's called the Social Conscience of FDR. It's not an autobiography, it's a biography. But what she went through, without Francis Perkins, none of us would have Social Security today. She was pretty much the sole force behind that, along with the child labor laws and fire prevention laws. It's just an amazing woman that you never hear about. So anyway, we got a chicken now named after Frances Perkins, who was named after the Academy for Frances Perkins. This is in North Brooklyn High School. So these chickens, what she did is they know that she was giving free public lectures on her rooftop in the art of chicken keeping. This is in Brooklyn now, North Brooklyn. And what happened is he picked up one of the chickens. This is the instructor, Oren, to explain the chicken's anatomy. And this chicken was just so comfortable. She was absolutely at home and entertaining as 60 or so people were looking at and feeling her claws and combs and for many of them for the first time handling a chicken. So what she's saying is in her rooftop garden, she's not going to kill the chickens, of course. She's going to use their manure and the eggs, both of which supply the farm with, of course, people food as well as irreplaceable nutrients and income, because she does sell some. She has one little bird named Bibi, which is a good New Yorker because she's the same size as a pigeon, and she's also about as dominant as a chihuahua, so that short and spunky thing. The other thing she goes into that I'm not going to go into detail is each of the each of the birds lays different types of eggs. She can tell exactly which egg comes from which bird. And after you get to know your flock a little well, you can pretty well tell which eggs are coming from which bird. One is an innocuous white. Little Frances, our very own Frances Perkins, lays a very pale blue egg, so we know that she's an Americana. And others lay really, really perfect and petite ones, and one is an off-white. And what they do is they give some of the eggs to the local food shelter, which is just wonderful. And then she quotes one of my favorite authors in this article. It's Wendell Berry, who writes in his excellent essay, and I love this essay. It's called Stupidity in Concentration. And he says, our farm aims to show by simple example, and actually counterexample, the great stupidity of the industrial animal production. The industrial meat production is unhealthy for the birds and the people who eat them. It will no doubt eventually be remembered as one of the worst elements of our modern food system. So anyway, it is really something to see New Yorkers be falling in love with chickens, holding them for the first time, and certainly in the most unlikely of places, which is in the rooftop and a rooftop gardening. So let's see. I'm just going to check the chat room. I'm a chicken soft talker. You go, Pat. Okay. I can tune it up here a little bit. And the other thing is I am a little bit of a soft talker. I have a policy of, walk softly and carry a big feather or a big beak, so to speak. Then the other things, I'm just going to go directly into activities that are coming up and events. There is a slew of them starting up in Asheville, in the Asheville, North Carolina area on Monday. It's a week from yesterday, October 11th at 7 p.m. I'm going to be giving a talk on chickens and you. It's co-sponsored by Back Home Magazine. It's on chickens and you in the Asheville area. For details, call Back Home Magazine, and their number is 800-992-2546. 800-992-2546. That's Saturday. That's Monday, October the 11th at 7 p.m. And then on October, I'm just going to take these by the dates they're coming up. October 17th, the Shenandoah Valley Garden and Poultry Club is having a hands-on poultry processing instructions and potluck dinner. It's going to start at 4 p.m. with the clinic, with the hands-on processing clinic, and then the potluck will start at 5:30-ish. So if you want more information, and please come join us, the public is invited, call Dawn Paul. Her number is 540-460-8571. Dawn Paul at 540-460-8571. Then coming up after that on November 13th to 14th, as we all know, is the Ohio National Poultry Show. Andy Schneider and his wife Jen are going to go up there because they'll be broadcasting live. They've got a booth. They'll be taking a tour of the Meyer Hatchery. And, folks, this is one of the biggest poultry shows. They're going to have probably around 7,000 birds. It's the American Bantam Association National Meet. So this is their annual national meet. It's November 13th and 14th this year. Then the same weekend is coming up American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, and fortunately, otherwise, and I'm giving a talk there, and we'll be attending that, otherwise I'd be at the Ohio National, but this is also November 11th to the 13th. Their theme this year is Healthy Herds and Healthy Markets. It's held at the White Eagle Conference Center in Hamilton, New York, and they've got quite a few poultry-related workshops. As you know, Jeanette Barringer is a regular on our show. She's from the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. She comes on once a month. And some of the topics they're going to be having is the high cuisine of heritage poultry. This is preparing and cooking heritage poultry as well as important and artful, and as well as breeding considerations while you're raising them. And this workshop, you'll learn what quality poultry heritage chickens looks like when it's undressed, and also how to and how not to handle it while you're cooking it. Steve Pope is going to be doing the workshop. He's the executive chef at the Good Shepherd Poultry Ranch team. And the The Good Shepherd has opened its doors for heritage poultry across the country, and that's going to be on Friday. Another one is raising heritage turkeys on pasture, and this is something that we did when we had our poultry farm, is raise heritage as well as the broad-breasted whites on pasture. And heritage turkeys are now established as a part of the food scene, but you need to know how to care for these beautiful birds, which they are beautiful. I do love looking at the turkeys. Proper brooding, feeding, pasturing, and processing and marketing will be covered. This workshop is given by Bill and Dana Yockley, Y-O-C-K-E-Y, who have been successfully breeding and raising and marketing heritage turkeys for over 10 years on their farm in northwestern Pennsylvania. So that is an extra workshop that has a little bit of fee to it, and I do believe I'm going to be moderating that workshop. Another workshop at the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy in November is the rationale for selecting body type in chickens. This is the size and the shape of a chicken's body tells you a lot about its job and its ancestry. So you can just look at a chicken, and it's sort of like people in a way, but you can just look at a chicken and tell whether it's going to be a good layer or a good broiler or a good forager. Chickens and other species are good at what they do because of how they're built. Look at the American Poultry Association standards and use the body types to tell them about their ancestry. And that's given by Don Schreider. I'm giving a workshop on Saturday from 1:30 to 2:30 on chickens in the city. And, of course, with the recession, keeping urban poultry has become, as we know, very popular, and people are asking questions, and we're going to talk about all these questions. What breed? What about housing? Noise? Health care? What if there are zoning issues? And, of course, we're going to cover all that, one of my favorite subjects, which we also talk about here. That's it for... Oh, there's one other thing. The Green Festival, the Washington, D.C. Green Festival is coming up October 23rd. That's two weekends from now. It's the largest sustainability event in the world and continues to grow year after year. I'm giving an event on a talk on the Chicken Have More plan on Saturday, and I understand there's going to be chicken advocates from Prince George's County and the D.C. Hens Group. I believe they're going to be collecting signatures on petitions during my talk. At least they're welcome to. And it's from 1:30 to 2:15, the Chicken Have More plan in the Organic Gardens and Urban Farming Pavilion at the D.C. Convention Center. Okay. Yes, and we'll post these. We'll post all these on the Facebook list, so you can have them in writing. Okay, let's take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the coming elections and getting chickens on the ballot, at least chickens in the discussion beforehand. And we do have a trivia prize today, and for those of you in the chat room and listening, the secret word or the word is full nest. Full nest to win the chicken trivia prize. And the prize today is given to us by eggcartons.com. It is a rooster alarm clock. Yes, indeed. No more snoozing on the farm or away from it. You can hear a rooster alarm clock whenever you set it. Of course, Andy has his rooster crowing in his cell phone, so he also has a rooster alarm clock. Okay, we'll be back in just a moment after a few words from our sponsors.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks. If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try MannaPro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try MannaPro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers. It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialists. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. They have incubators that hold anywhere from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. These durable, easy-to-clean, quality products come with a 2-year warranty and are the choice of backyard breeders through research establishments. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. And don't miss out on Brensea's September sale. Until the end of the month, you can save 20% or more on their full range of incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea. Technology you can trust.
Okay, and this is for the chat room chickeneers here. Since we're there talking about roosters and roosters crowing. All righty, welcome back to the Chicken Whisperer Backyard Poultry and Sustainable Lifestyles Talk Show. My name is Pat Foreman. Andy Schneider, our Chicken Whisperer, is out on a special luncheon today. And in the chat room, I'm signed in under Chicken Whisperer. So if you see me, see the green pipe in there, that's me and not Andy making comments. Okay, something came up today with I'm going to do a little bit of extension to chickens in the news. And by the way, call in any questions or any comments. This is kind of a wide open show today. I'm ad-libbing quite a bit, and we're also going to probably end around noonish, end a little bit early around noonish. But one of the things that came out in my local newspaper, which is the Rockbridge Advocate, it's independent as a hog on ice is their byline. It's the Rockbridge Advocate, and this is their October issue. They just come out once a month. But one of the things that some friends of mine, I had a little bit to do with it, but not totally, some friends of mine were able to get chickens on the questions to the candidates. In other words, we want to know where do they stand on local food production and family flocks, because, of course, in our mind, you really can't separate local food production from having a family flock, because chickens enable so much the local agriculture through all their skill sets and all the many things that they bring to the table. Excuse the pun. So anyway, I'm going to just go through these, and what's beautiful, and I would like to see this across the country, and if any of you out there are having trouble getting chickens legal in your town or city, and if you've got elections coming up, we'll be glad to help you out any way we can, or call your local papers and tell them you want this as an issue. You want the candidates' positions on should chickens be allowed in your city and why or why not. So what I've got here is our candidates. We've got 5 candidates, and the issues here, it's interesting, the issues, you can tell when you live in a small town. The issues and the headline here are chickens, number one, deer, mosquitoes, and what do candidates think? And there will be at least two new members of the Lexington City Council elected in November, and all 5 of their candidates took time to answer these questions. So I'm just going to focus on the chicken one. And if there's anyone in the chat room, if you have a question, would you put your question in caps so I can catch my eye? I'm kind of multitasking here a little bit. So let me I know right now who I'm going to vote for, by the way, just based on this article here. So the first one is from Mary Harvey. Should chickens be allowed in town and why? And Mary Harvey says, wish they could be. They are so cute, but, this is a big but, their risk of disease because of close proximity to other animals and people, which we know that is not true. It's true in factory farm hens, but it's not true with the in-town hens because you're only going to have maybe eight at most, probably chickens. She goes, secondly, is the reduction of property values. And, of course, we've said this many, many times, show us one single documented case where property values have been dropped because there was a family flock of chickens next door. There has not been one single case. In fact, some realtors, including Greenway Neighborhood, there's some lots for sale in Greenway Neighborhood that are offering a free chicken coop with every sale. So, Mary Harvey, that's just simply not that's a belief, but it is not a fact, and we just want to go on the fact. And the other one, she says, is impinging on neighbors' peaceful existence. Neighbors' peaceful existence outweighs the pros of growing your own within the city limits. I mean, she doesn't mention anything about the barking dogs or the screaming kids or whatever. So anyway, Mary gets a thumbs down, and she has an empty nest next to her name. Chicken advocates should not vote for Mary Harvey. John Mormon, he's got a sense of humor. But he says, will they have anywhere to park? Will the chickens have anywhere to park? The first question to be answered is, for what purpose? Now, what purpose? Let's think about this, little folks. What purpose would we have chickens for in our backyard or in the city? Are we looking at chickens to be kept as pets or for commercial reasons? How would the numbers be controlled? Who would a household be allowed to keep 2, 4, 12? Prior to moving to Lexington, we lived in a community that had some of the largest chicken farms in Southern California. Under wrong weather conditions, there is perhaps nothing more unpleasant than the aroma of a commercial chicken farm. Well, gosh darn, John, I mean, really, you're talking about a commission chicken farm with millions of chickens compared to maybe 6 to 8 family flocks next door. I hardly think you can compare the odor, if any, between a commercial chicken farm. If any reason is good, get the chickens in backyards so the commercial chicken farms don't have to be so prevalent. And then he goes, since one argument for controlling the deer population is public health, I'd also submit that a similar situation exists for allowing chickens. And again, the facts, John, there is not one single fact that backyard flocks have anything to do with avian flu, in which, in fact, the CDC has come out to say that there is no problem with backyard family flocks and avian flu. It's on their website. A large portion of chickens or any other domesticated bird or animal kept outdoors would encourage predatory animals to, quote, chance their arms, unquote, at getting a dinner. Right. Well, there's bird feeders. We know that there's all kinds of things that would bring predatory animals. Most chickens, if they're kept properly and kept up off the ground, the huts, their coops, and locked up inside, there's not that much of a predator problem. He says, are we prepared to tolerate an increase in the numbers of foxes, coyotes, predatory birds, et cetera, along with the attendant issues they would bring? And that's not been really documented either, John, that a family flock brings in foxes, coyotes, and predatory birds. The fact is they are there anyway because they're preying off rabbits and mice and rats and things that are already in the community. And then there's also the issue of property owners' rights. Can we tell our neighbors that they must deal with these issues? What issues? What issues, John? Issues because we want to keep chickens. I think they'll find, and as we found across the country, that there really aren't any issues. The animal control officers have very few complaints, and it just hasn't been an issue unlike dog saying or too many cats. So all that is to say, my answer to the general question, therefore, would be that I don't believe keeping chickens within the city limits would be appropriate. So John gets a thumbs down, John Mormon, thumbs down, empty nest sticker to John. We're going to move on to George Pride. He goes, allow chickens in the town. You mean like deer running around loose, pulling up tomato plants and dashing in front of cars? I don't think so. Or do you mean keeping chickens on your backyard or for the eggs? Yeah, I like the idea. Some people don't. They seem to think that chickens in the backyard would make Lexington look like a hick town, but they're wrong. The people are wrong. I mean, not the chickens. The chickens wouldn't make us a hick town. They'd make us a chick town, maybe even a chic town. It's the thing to do. And George goes on to say, George Pride, the saga of chickens in Lexington is well told by Patricia Foreman of Fairfield, in her new book, City Chicks, beginning in 2005. And yes, we've been at this now for 5 years in Lexington, Virginia, trying to get chickens legal in the city. The city council was asked several times to approve an ordinance allowing chickens for egg production. I believe there's a better understanding today of the benefits of urban egg production, and we've also learned more about the restrictions needed to make city chicks acceptable. Even in some of our largest cities, these rules address such things as the number of hens allowed, roosters not allowed at all, sanitation requirements, distance from the neighbor's property, and much, much more. It's likely the city council will be hearing again from the pro-chicken people. If they bring a proposal with the necessary restrictions, I would support it. Well, I can tell you there is a very strong already pro-chicken advocate group that is going to be bringing the issue about chickens in front of the city council. So George Pride is for chickens. He gets a full nest syndrome, and we'll vote for George. Yay, George. Obviously, he's a green candidate. So that's the city council members. Let me check the chat room here. Does anyone have any questions or any comments about getting the issue of whether or not to allow chickens in your city to be allowed? And I don't see anything in here right now. I can say one thing that over the last 2 years, that over 500 towns and cities have changed their ordinances to allow chickens within the city limits. Over the past 2 years, over 500 towns and cities have changed their ordinance to allow chickens within the city limits. And of those that did not pass it, they said no to full nests. Within the next 2 to 5 years, 85% of them do change their minds. So that's kind of it for the chickens and being as a pre-election issue. Okay. So with that, let's take a little break, and I'm going to just run a few more announcements. Again, for all you chat room chickeneers and those listening in, the keyword today for the chicken trivia question is full nests. Full nests. Okay, we'll be right back in just a moment. And any call-in questions, please feel free to go ahead and call in. And it's kind of a wide-open day for any questions after break. If there aren't any questions, we'll go ahead and talk about how city chicks can work as clucking civic employees and save big-time taxpayer dollars. All righty, we'll be right back.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run. But do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Spring will be here before you know it, and you need to be prepared. Spring will be here before you know it, and you need to be prepared before you bring home those new chickens. If a new
First State Vets.
Spring will be here before you know it, and you need to be prepared before you bring home those new chickens.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. a portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your HenSaver aprons today at HenSaver.com. That's HenSaver.com.
Okay, Ken, I got disconnected from my other line, and I tried to dial in, and I just got, and can you hear me in chat room? If someone could let me know if I'm actually on the air live now or not, can you hear me? Because I'm not sure. Hello, Ken. Okay, you can hear me. Wonderful. Okay, well, muddle along. I called in as a guest, so I don't know who's in control now because it's probably not me. But anyway, at least we're back on live. Well, super. What we're going to do? Excellent. We can hear you. Okay. Are there any questions? And I do have one caller in. Let me see if I can bring them online. Okay, from area code 770. Are you there? Hello? Please state your name and where you're from. Hello? We're not hearing you. It's a pretty bad connection. If you please call back in, that would be helpful. We don't have a good connection. Okay, well, we're still online here. That's right, there is a delay between your chat and, okay, that's right. Okay, well, we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics here. I got to tell you, this gets me all revved up because it has such potential, and I think it has the potential also to open doors in places where doors have been slammed before, and that's where literally employing chickens as part of your solid waste management program. I mean, I know that sounds a little geekish, but I got to tell you, it's being used as a strategy by cities in Europe. As far as I know, it's not officially used by anyone here in the U.S. except the Vermont Compost Company, which we've talked about before, how they employ 1,200 compost-creating chickens on their compost operations. So, it's true. While there are many warm and feathery reasons to keep family flocks, probably the most economic and politically compelling reason is to employ chickens as biomass recyclers. And here's where I'm just going to make this really simple. First off, there are cities and towns that have a zero waste policy, and that's a objective that is being strived for by more and more communities across the U.S. And that's where there really is no waste. It's where anything that can be used literally can be then transformed into something else that can be useful, whether it's computers or metal, or in our case, biomass, which is anything that has high carbon level to it. So We've got another call in. Let me just pause there because I do want to take this. No, we don't have a call in. Okay, never mind. They just went away. So anyway, if we start thinking, this is so important because it ties into our entire agricultural system. If we start thinking of leaves and grass clippings and certainly anything that comes from the kitchen that's waste, and instead of sending those to the landfill, what we can do is keep them in either your yard or your neighbor's yard, someone that is a gardener, and then you can take the missing ingredient to this whole thing, and the magic ingredient is the chicken manure, because it is so high in nitrogen. I mean, it is high in nitrogen, it's high in phosphorus, and it's high in potassium, it's high in a lot of the micronutrients. So where does commercial fertilizer primarily come from? Well, it comes from oil. And, of course, we've talked about before in the show, a whopping 17% of all the oil that's used in America is used for agriculture. It's used for all the crop enhancement chemicals as well as the fertilizers, as well as planting and harvesting and shipping and refrigeration and packaging. So this is one strategy that is very practical. It's appropriate technology. It's at no cost to city governments about how to decrease the amount of money that they have to spend on trash collection. So here's how it works: you have some either your own yard or someone else's yard. You take the chicken manure, you add it in with the leaves and the nitrogen waste, you let it sit and you get compost. And you can do this either over raised beds to help the beds raise up and build topsoil, or you can do it as a regular compost in a composter situation. Well, how much are we talking about? Well, the numbers are small, but when you multiply them out, they get big. One chicken eats about its weight in food every month, approximately about its weight in food every month. And that means 6 to 8 pounds. So they eat about 6 to 8 pounds of food. A lot of that can be those leftover pizza crusts. They could be the bread, the omelet, the pasta, the spaghetti, pretty much anything. Pork, beef. When it comes to feeding chicken, I kind of draw the line there. But they will bio-recycle just about anything that people eat. They love. And in fact, when I go out to dinner, I will say, you know, wait, I want to take these leftovers because my chickens don't get to eat out very much. And sure enough, the chickens just devour. Well, what the chicken eats, then, of course, then it gives you eggs, but the other thing it gives you is this valuable nitrogen-loaded manure. And if you don't think it's a valuable, there's a product called cock-a-doodle-doo. Has anyone heard of cock-a-doodle-doo? Well, cock-a-doodle-doo is a dried chicken manure, and how much do you think it is? It's organic, it's dried. 20 pounds of cock-a-doodle-doo will cost you $15 in the drugstore. That's about 70 cents a pound for chicken poo. So that chicken poo, of course, contains really valuable nitrogen and all the stuff that goes to build topsoil. Now, I'm going to talk just a little bit about how this can be multiplied out. What you do is you get your city numbers, and I'll put this formula up. Actually, this formula, it is up. It's on the Murray McMurray blog. I've got a blog on Murray McMurray that I can post in the chat room here in just a little bit, but it goes into how the numbers are, and of course we have some clucking chicken consultants that will be happy to work with any city that would like to run some real numbers using their data. So what you do is you take how many, here's a hypothetical situation. If a city had 2,000 households, and some of the bigger cities would have that, say 2,000 households with just a flock of 6 chickens each, those 6 chickens could potentially biomass recycle about 500 tons a year. 500 tons a year, and then we're talking, of course, not only just food scraps, but also the yard and leaf wastes. 500 tons a year it could be kept out of the trash stream. Then what you do is you figure out what the tipping fee expense is. And what that is that you just call and find out what your local tipping, what does it cost to dump the stuff. In the Northeast, the average tipping fee in 2004 was $70 a ton. So right off the bat, if we're really utilizing our chicken workers and our backyard composters and biomass recyclers, we're saving just about $35,000 a year just from the tipping fees. And then if you go ahead and add in the waste removal fees, that's what you have to pay the people to come around, the little trash people, the trash collection people to pick it up and put it in their dumps, their trash truck and then take it out. That costs, in my hometown, it costs about $106 a ton for the city to pick up, transport, transfer, dump, and put it in the landfill. And gosh, our landfill is going to be closing in 2012. So it gets even more expensive in the near future. So now we're up to about $553,000 a ton that they save by not having to pick up that biomass. So you add the tipping fees in with the trash collection fees, you get about $89,000 a year of totally a tax-free tax dollars saved. It's the tax dollars not having to be spent, and then you get the added benefits of topsoil creation, fertilizer, and certainly food to soil to grow your food in. So that's the basic formula for that. And they're right, Bardrock says, no more miracle grow. I tell you, chicken manure is black gold. I mean, in a way, since fertilizer, commercial fertilizer, the NPK, nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus, does come from oil-based, pretty much, as are the pesticides, by the way, and chickens are, of course, voracious pesticiders. Well, you can pretty well view your little chicken almost as a little clucking oil well right there in your backyard, little acres of diamonds. Okay, let's take another short commercial break, and when we come back, we'll do the chicken trivia question. And of course, this is the rooster alarm clock, brought to you by eggcartons.com. And of course, since you've been listening all along, you know what the secret code is. Okay, we'll be back in just a few commercials.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Okay, chicken ears, if you know the secret code that we gave earlier, call in on the chat line. We'll take listener number 7. Listener number 7, if you know the secret code that was called in.
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
ManaPro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chicks. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
Okay, welcome back. This is Pat Foreman here. Andy is out on a special luncheon today, so I'm responsible for the secret password here. So, okay, we're taking caller number 6, caller number 6, and the prize today is from eggcartons.com. It's a rooster alarm clock, a rooster alarm clock. No more snoozing on the farm or away from it. You will hear this rooster alarm clock crow whenever you set it. Wake up to one of the most popular sounds of the farm. No bells or whistles. It makes a great gift for your poultry-minded friends, for your feather-minded friends, I guess we'd say. Okay, caller number 6. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, here we go. We've got one calling in here. Okay, caller number 6 from area code 229. Please give us your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Kevin, and I'm calling from California.
Kevin from California, Kevin. Well, thanks for calling in. And how's the chicken situation out there in California? Do you have them legal in your city?
We do. Bakersfield is very chicken-friendly and has been chicken-friendly for a long time, from what I understand. They've been way ahead of the curve.
Excellent. Well, Bakersfield gets a full nest stamp of approval. Good for Bakersfield. Okay, Kevin, did you hear the password or the secret code for the trivia prize today? And I do believe it was chat. It just posted on the chat room.
I believe it is full nest.
That's it. That's it. Because we want everybody to have full nests throughout the country, whether it's Bakersfield, California, or Lexington, Virginia, or anyone else. So I think we're going to start giving full nest awards to cities that have seen, so to speak, seen the light about the value of having chickens. Okay, Kevin, let me make sure I've got your phone number here. And what will happen is I'll give this to Andy. Are you on Facebook, Kevin?
You can send him a message.
Yeah, you know the routine. Okay.
Yeah.
Just send him a message, and then he'll get that out to you as soon as he gets back from his very special lunch today.
This is perfect.
Okay.
I've been looking for a alarm clock because my wife hates mine. So happy to be getting another alarm clock.
Oh, great, great. Well, Kevin, do you have chickens?
I do. I have 4 chickens.
And do you have names for them?
Huh? I
do. Do you have names for them?
I have Cinnamon, Paprika, Flower, and Benji.
Cinnamon, Paprika, Flower, and Benji?
Yep.
So it sounds like there's some good cooks in your house, or chefs.
I don't know if I found it. I did just bake them some carrot cake last night with mealworms, the Sunflower Sensation Andy sent me, and eggshell.
So you made a carrot cake for your flock, and you used the mealworms and eggshell, and what else did you say?
Sunflower Sensation.
And did they like it?
They'd love it.
I bet. Did you try it?
No.
Oh, gosh. Well, be sure and submit that to Andy's cookbook that he's making up. I think that would be absolutely a star recipe. Because we talked about, he needs to have chicken-based, what do you call it, recipes for chickens to eat as well as for people to eat. So, yeah.
Well, I'm thinking next I'm going to try apple breakfast. The chickens aren't that fond of carrots.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they eat it, not their favorite.
I'll be darned. Okay. Interesting. Very good. Well, let's see. My chickens love anything that's carbohydrates. Bread they will fight for. And, of course, bugs, too. They fight over bugs. So maybe you could make a bug cake.
That, it'd be nice if they'd eat some cockroaches. I could bake them some cockroaches.
Oh, God. Well, we've got stink bugs here that are just absolutely epidemic, which the chickens are eating, but, it's an interesting way to... Well, we'll have to design some bug recipes and then from the pests and then ways to collect them and feed them to the chickens. So.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Well, Kevin, thanks so much for calling in. We really appreciate your call. And congratulations on winning the Rooster Alarm Clock from eggcartons.com. Thanks so much.
Chat.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. We're going to end at noon today, folks. It's a little bit of a short show since Andy isn't here. And, gosh, we want to thank everyone for calling in. If there are any, let's see, I'm just checking the chat room here. A chicken carrot cake, that does sound good, doesn't it, sort of, for the chickens. Okay, well, we thank you so much for tuning in to Chicken Whisper with the Backyard Poultry, and we want to thank all our sponsors for supporting us. Without you, we wouldn't be here, and, of course, thanks to Andy Schneider for bringing us all together. He's the Chicken Whisperer and certainly one of the most premier chicken advocates across the country. He's doing so much to help the cause and to bring local agriculture and food rights to our backyards. Of course, thanks to all you chat room chicken ears for clucking along. I appreciate you bearing along with me with this first time with the controls here, and I know there are, when I got disconnected, that was pretty amazing, but we got back on. And, of course, thanks to blogtalkradio.com for providing the radio, chat, and video services. So we're ending just a little bit early, folks, but, again, thank you all so much for coming in. Thanks for sticking through with the show, and we look forward to talking with you tomorrow. Tomorrow we've got let me just bring it up here. Tomorrow we've got a great show coming up. Jane Jensen, she's with Living Gardens, and Jane will be having an open question and answer session. So you can ask one of the experts in the country, and she certainly raises just about all of her own food, any questions you have for Jane about Living Gardens and gardening. Thursday we've got Professor Bridget McRae. She's going to be talking to us about winter nutrition. Winter Nutrition with Bridget McRae, and, of course, Fun Friday comes up on Friday, which is always R-rated for Rooster. Okay, thanks so much, everybody. Really appreciate you being here. Blessings to all, and may the flock be with you forevermore. God bless everybody.
When you find yourself in danger, when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
I pushed the wrong button, but pretty cool, wasn't it? Anyway, let's see if I can get the right one. Oh, gosh.